Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. Beets are a nutritional gold mine, full of antioxidants and nutrients, but they're a mess to prepare. So just mix Super Beets with 4 ounces of water and boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure. Get the Dr. Hoffman special offer at intelligentbeets.com. That's intelligentbeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and once again, it is time for a special holiday edition of Q&A with Layla. Judging from the responses of many of you, what has come to be your favorite segment on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We talk to distinguished guests all the time, and I do clinical focus podcasts, but for many of you, this is an opportunity for you to hear a potpourri of questions and get your questions answered. You can send us questions via radioprogram@AOL.com. Just email us, radioprogram@AOL.com, and make your question succinct and hopefully relevant, and we will likely address it here on a subsequent podcast. So Layla Mutin, for those of you who haven't heard our podcast before, many of you are familiar with Layla. Layla's our Hoffman Center nutritionist. She's a registered dietitian, and she has earned a master's degree in the field of nutrition, and together we work to solve patients' problems at the Hoffman Center. So welcome, Layla. How are you doing?
I'm okay, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good. Are you getting in the whirl of Christmas shopping, or do you kind of like lay low during the holidays?
Well, things are pretty much done and in place. I can't believe it's upon us already.
Oh, indeed.
It's so quick.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it seems summer was just over, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 here we are. Okay, well, I'd say it tends to occur. I mean, they say that things speed up as you reach a certain critical age, they accelerate. And
that is so unfair.
You know, sometimes I tell like a young kid, I say, look, I want you to try a gluten-free diet for 60 days. And you should see the expression on their face, like, 60 days? Oh, my God. You know, it's like, it's all relative. Because like me, you've lived as long as a land tortoise, 60 days isn't that long.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all relative. Okay, so
it's about 60 days till spring.
That's more
when
like
I start counting down, maybe.
More like 160 days, I think. Okay, although we had a little break in the weather this week in New York, we can be thankful for that before we plunge back into the polar vortex. All right, so we have actually this question comes to us via Facebook. Gene has posted on my Facebook page an article which has attracted some attention recently. A study was just performed. I'm reading from Medical News Today. Low glycemic index carbohydrate diet does not improve cardiovascular risk factors, insulin resistance. And so if I go to the article, the article states, in a study that included overweight and obese participants, those with diets with low glycemic index of dietary carbohydrate did not have improvements in insulin sensitivity, lipid levels, or systolic blood pressure, according to a study in JAMA. The research was performed at the gold standard of scientific research, Harvard Medical School in Boston, and they looked at 163 overweight adults. They were given 4 different diets. And here's the rub. You know, when we drill down, we can talk about the different diets. So anyway, this person writes to me on Facebook. Her name is Jean. Let's see. Jean writes, does this mean white potatoes are better than sweet potatoes? Okay. So let's break it down. I sent you this article so we could prepare for a discussion on this. So what's your take on that,
Well,
Layla?
Here's the thing. This study was actually based, the 4 various diets here were actually based on the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension.
Wait, hold it right there. Now, let's tell the audience, I did not rehearse this answer with you. You and I came to identical conclusions on this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we both read it. We both, you know, it's like we think alike on this. So keep going, because that's the essence. This is not a low carbohydrate diet. This is actually a relatively high carbohydrate diet to begin with.
That's right. Even the lowest carb, lowest glycemic diet is, you know, the carbs are still at 40%. That is in no way, shape, or form a low-carb diet.
Mm-hmm.
So they really weren't looking at a low-carb diet at all.
Right.
And the DASH diet, as we know, is also very low in fat.
So by the way, they were so scared to give people any fat in this. They said, oh, my God, you know, it would be unethical. These people have, you know, high blood pressure and prediabetes. Oh, my God, we're going to kill them if we were to allow them to have some butter
fat
or some meat.
That is exactly the macronutrient that they need
right.
in order to blunt the blood sugar response, in order to curb the amount of, you know, carbohydrates ingested, all of that. That's exactly the thing that they would need.
I think they took the position that, oh my goodness, it would be absurd to consider the possibility that we should include some fat and, you know, a high level of protein in this diet. So let's just give that, you know, ultra low carbohydrate diet in different variations. Okay, so let's you know, put aside that criticism for a moment, which is that this is essentially the DASH diet, which stands for dietary, what is it, something?
Dietary approaches to stop hypertension.
Which is the
DASH.
Which has been our national policy, which, by the way, has not done a great job in stopping hypertension and obesity and prediabetes.
Not at all.
Yeah, because
if anything, all those carbs and being ultra low in fat is promoting more insulin resistance.
Well, let's describe the DASH diet. You know, there were four variations ranging from a high glycemic index to low glycemic. What is the DASH diet in essence for our listeners?
The DASH diet is a highly plant-based diet where proteins and fats are kept to an absolute minimum. Proteins only a few times a week. But the
skim
other
milk,
protein,
low fat dairy
milk,
products,
beans, rice, a lot of grains on this diet, a lot of vegetables and fruits, which are always a good thing. Vegetables and fruit,
that could be good for blood pressure.
Yeah, I
mean, I like the idea that they say you have lots of fruits and vegetables. Maybe a little too much in terms of sweet fruits could be not so good for some of these patients.
That's right. And they don't distinguish between you know, what types of fruits and starchy or non-starchy vegetables.
Okay, so let's put aside that criticism, though, that this is all about the DASH diet, which we think is the wrong diet.
Yes.
Is the implication of this that we could just tell people who are, you know, they're looking at the glycemic index of all these foods, like, forget about it. It's like, you know, a piece of, you know, beans versus, you know, a chocolate ice cream sundae. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter because it's, you know, the glycemic index doesn't count in terms of the outcome. The sugar that's in the ice cream is not any worse than the sugar that you get from chewing brown rice and beans.
Well, this is why the glycemic index is very – I don't think it's a very effective standard to go by at all. And by the way, did you know that ice cream is low glycemic? How do you explain that?
Yep.
Where then you take the baked potato, which is very high glycemic, you know, you would imagine that a baked potato is going to be better nutritionally than a bowl of Häagen-Dazs.
Right.
So it's not great to follow. What's more important than a glycemic index is the actual glycemic load.
Load. Okay, so the instead of the GI, it's the GL, which is a refinement of it. So explain that. And that's a difficult concept, I think, for people to grasp.
It is a difficult concept. Glycemic index is looking at one food. Let me come back to that baked potato. And only that one food and how it disturbs or doesn't do anything, how it impacts your blood sugar at all, that area under the curve.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who's eating just a baked potato? When we're having a baked potato, we're normally having some kind of protein alongside.
Yeah, last night, somebody took me out to dinner, and I had an 8-ounce filet mignon, and I had a baked potato. Now, if I just had the baked potato without the filet mignon, it would have hit my system a lot faster than with the fat
That's
and the
right.
protein. So it actually
That's
combining
right.
it with the fatty food that would not be permitted. Mm-hmm. It would be like a horror to put a filet mignon on the DASH diet. That would be like off
it
the
would.
Charts.
Well, you know, at least the filet mignon is leaner according to DASH diet because it'll be lower in fat. God forbid you ate some short ribs or ribeye steak.
Right, which are delicious. I love those too.
Yeah. coming back to the baked potato again for a minute, the other thing that will decrease the glycemic load, which is more important than the glycemic index, is to add some fat to that potato. Who's eating a plain baked potato these days? Well, a lot of people do. It tastes just fine. Well, but a lot of people would like to put some butter and sour cream on that potato.
No, they would say that's not permitted. You have to use low-fat yogurt.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Tasteless, right?
Like, exactly.
Like water, okay.
Exactly.
But that would... But the fat actually alters the absorption.
It blunts the absorption of the carbohydrate.
And so it doesn't hit the system as quickly.
Yeah. Decreasing its glycemic load. In essence, it lowers its glycemic index.
Okay.
You know?
But so GL, actually, I have an article that has some examples on that. It's kind of technical, but... let's see if I have this here. It's actually something that I sent you in relationship to the glycemic load. Let me see if I have, well, anyway, can you give us some examples of where there's some surprises when it comes to the glycemic load of a food? Oh, so let's take a look at carrots, for example. Carrots have a very high glycemic index, right?
Yes.
So on the diet that they, the experimental diet, where they thought they were going to reduce insulin resistance, they said, don't eat carrots. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of deceptive because how many carrots can you eat at a sitting? And there are other foods that pack a big wallop in terms of their carbohydrate load that you could just eat a whole lot of, right?
Exactly.
And that glycemic load accounts for that, right?
The glycemic load absolutely accounts for that. And, you know, this is where the glycemic index really, really doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. So we have to consider all that. And coming back to carrots, you have to eat a certain amount of carrots to have that impact. Everything has to be a certain portion. You know, a small scoop of ice cream is equivalent to maybe, two or three whole cups of carrots.
Right.
So, you know, it's that kind of a thing. You have to factor in the actual portion. And this is another reason the glycemic index really doesn't work at all.
Right.
And I found
the article here that I'm talking about. It says here, carrots, apples, chickpeas, walnuts, black beans, and strawberries all have a much higher glycemic index than diet soda.
Yes.
So diet
does
soda.
Does that mean we should drink diet soda? Yeah.
Right.
And have ice cream?
And they say if that leads you to believe that diet soda is a better choice for your health, you know, please be disabused of that. They say on the glycemic index scale, pure cold pressed extra virgin olive oil and Crisco would be identical, right?
That's right.
But doesn't
trans
mean that
fat
one
and good
one,
fat would be identical. Yes.
In other words, one is very harmful and deleterious to your health, and the other one is beneficial. Diet soda and water are equivalent. You know, so,
and they're in no way, shape, or form equivalent health wise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the GI really doesn't work very well.
And by the way, I know the guy who developed it. He's a famous scientist from Toronto. His name is Dr. Jenkins. And I had an opportunity to meet Dr. Jenkins a few years ago. He's older now. He actually introduced this idea in 1981.
Yeah.
And it's really been a very popular notion. And now, you know, we're seeing some cracks in the facade. But I think people are going to draw the wrong conclusion. They're going to say, let's not even bother to look at whether our food has a lot of fiber. We can eat refined carbohydrates all we want. Mm-hmm. That's not the message that we hope gets out around this.
That's right. That's right. Another feature of this study, which gives it a quite a poor design, because they based it on the DASH diet, which is just the wrong diet for people with insulin resistance and hypertension anyway, because there's so many insulin triggers on this eating plan. They even had caloric beverages and things. These are all insulin triggers. You have to consider that not only was maybe a lot of fruit involved, but fruit juice as well.
Right, right.
This is one of the worst things for hypertension. Yes, your glass of orange juice is going to have potassium, which is great for hypertension, but it's an insulin trigger, and anything causing our insulin to go up is going to cause higher blood pressure. How it's working dynamically is how it's keeping the body, it's helping the body to maintain or keep its sodium. And when we're holding on to a lot of sodium, water follows that sodium and into our bloodstream, which then causes the high blood pressure.
Right.
None of these things are taken into account here.
Right. You know, it reminds me.
Harvard. I mean, this is really making me mad. It's like, come on, get with the schedule. The DASH diet is not the way to go.
You know, it may be that the scientists there recognize the limitations of the study, but then when the press gets a hold of it, they dumb down the message.
Yeah.
And the message is, like, don't even bother about that glycemic index and fiber. Mm-hmm. That's not important. And, you know, you can might as well eat, candy instead of an apple, because they have the same glycemic index. It reminds me of the fable. You know, there's the story of, the guy who he's walking across a parking lot and he sees some guy bent over on the ground, looking at the ground underneath the light in the parking lot. You know, there's mm-hmm. like illumination in the parking lot, and there's like one spot of illumination, and the guy's bent over on the ground. So, you know, the guy comes up to the guy looking at the ground and he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I'm looking for my keys. I lost my keys." And he said, "Well, why are you just looking here, you know, in that little round spot of light?" And he goes, "Well, that's the only place where the light is shining." And so it suggests that if you confine your paradigm to just one specific area, you're not going to find the answers. I mean, the assumption is the DASH diet. Which variation of the DASH diet is better? The answer is none of the above.
Right, right. Thank you.
Yes. So we wanted to get that message across. I think it's mm-hmm. a great question, and you may see this in the news, and, you know, once again, we got to do a little damage control on popular health stories that are dumbed down.
Yeah, we can't believe everything we read, and just because something, a conclusion is the result of scientific research, doesn't mean it's true, because we have to scrutinize the actual research.
Right.
The methodology and all of that. You have to take that into account, otherwise it's really, there's enough scientific research that's not very good, valid, unreliable, but published just as often as very good, valid, and reliable scientific research. And that's where, you know, our expertise comes in.
Right.
To scrutinize and to pick out the gems, the pearls.
Right. And it requires a little scientific literacy on the part of the public. And, unfortunately, they don't really teach the analytical skills in the schools anymore. So I hope you're happy, Gene. We really ran down that question for you. And hopefully Gene has stumbled upon this podcast and has gotten a complete explanation. All right. By the way, just happy to say that we're just getting amazing email from all over the world.
Yeah.
And we recently got an email from a very nice lady who has a Scots name in Glasgow, Scotland. And she's very, very interested in our podcast, and she's asking us, can we ship stuff to Scotland? And so, the answer is, I mean, I don't actually know what the regulations are. People all over the world want to get a hold of some of the stuff that we talk about. So, mm-hmm. check your local regulations if your regulations permit. But we cannot take responsibility for shipping stuff, and, you know, if it doesn't get to you because your government sees fit to confiscate beneficial supplements. You know, the regulations are very strange and foreign. At least we know the regulations here. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. But I don't know. It's one of the ways in which we do not want to emulate some of the other countries of the world, particularly mm-hmm. Europe. All right. That being said, we've got time for a question, and then we'll...
Okay.
Yep.
All right. We've got one from Tim. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Because of anti-aging experts who recommend that we take hormone replacement therapies, and secondly, because I have cognitive difficulty and memory problems, I started taking 100 milligrams of pregnenolone and 100 milligrams of DHEA. However, upon starting the DHEA, my doctor was doing routine liver testing and found my liver function tests were elevated, my enzymes, my ALT and AST.
Mm-hmm.
So my doctor says testosterone family hormones like DHEA, when they're taken orally, are especially problematic with regard to causing liver damage. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I saw that question, and it's an interesting question, because testosterone taken orally is a synthetic form of testosterone. It's methyl testosterone. It's not bioidentical. So whenever I prescribe testosterone, I usually prescribe it as a topical cream that's custom compounded. Or in some cases where patients really need higher levels and they don't absorb it that well, we'll use the injections, but we'll also use a form that's more natural. Actually, take it back. One of the disadvantages of the injections is the injections are generally synthetic testosterone, but when you inject it, it bypasses your liver. When you take it orally, a synthetic will have to go through your liver, and then it has the potential to create toxicity. That's why one of the side effects of taking illicit anabolic steroids orally is liver damage. However, I've never seen DHEA cause any kind of liver problem in any patient I've treated, and I've treated hundreds, perhaps thousands of patients with DHEA. I've personally been taking it for 25 years, and, well, not quite 20 years, and no such problem has happened. I suspect it's something else. Now, as to the pregnenolone is another hormone. I don't generally prescribe pregnenolone, although, there's some interesting literature on pregnenolone helping energy and stamina and also mood, and perhaps even helping with cognitive function. It's considered like a mother hormone that branches out into a lot of different other hormone pathways. But the research is stronger on DHEA, documenting its safety and efficacy. And I've really not seen any articles suggesting that one of the side effects of DHEA is liver damage. It's more likely that something else is causing liver damage. And, the single biggest cause of liver damage is fatty liver, which is dietary.
Yeah, which is rampant
right. In
our country with our overweight obesity epidemic. So
right. It could be a couple of pints of Johnny Walker that you're putting away there.
It could be that. It could be any prescription medications he's taking. We don't have any idea of that.
I'm just kidding. I suspect. Yeah. I mean, why bother taking all those good things and, spoil it with excess alcohol?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So
Tim,
we have time
check
for
everything else you're taking.
We have time for one more quick question of this portion of our podcast, and then we'll...
Quick one. Yep. This comes from Marianne. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. In the Wheat Belly Total Health book, Dr. William Davis recommends a certain probiotic. Can I mention the name of it?
Please, yeah, go.
It's Garden of Life.
Okay.
She says, I ordered their Primal Defense Ultra and was surprised to see iron in it. I thought that iron in supplements should be avoided.
Yeah.
It says from Ionic plant-based minerals, and it's 1.8 milligrams.
That's very little. That's super small amounts of iron. Yeah. That's about, there's probably about the same amount of iron in a raisin,
Yeah, in a raisin, that's about right.
Raisins have a little bit of iron in them.
Yeah.
So, a couple of spinach leaves. I think that's not a problem. I don't know that product. I don't specifically recommend it or disrecommend it. I just don't. I'm not familiar with that product. And I recently did a podcast with Dr. Davis, and he's was great. I mean, I really recommend that you scroll back and find that podcast a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He did an excellent job, and I was very pleasantly surprised because, I was a little skeptical because I see, Wheat Belly, and I thought, that's kind of like another catchphrase, popular book, doctors jumping on the bandwagon of the gluten-free, and maybe, he's, frankly, not a rocket scientist about this. But he was brilliant and really knew his stuff. And so I just felt tremendous respect for his work and getting the word out about the potential toxic effects of gluten. He really was very familiar with the full gamut of the research, as well as being an advocate for a low carbohydrate diet. So I think he's popularizing this notion. He's getting the word out, just like others like Dr. David Perlmutter, and I think overall doing a lot of good because getting rid of gluten, refined starch for a lot of people, very beneficial.
Very, very beneficial. Yeah. Especially when it comes to pot belly, to, overweight, metabolic syndrome.
Yeah.
All of the above. Yeah.
Right. And it really goes to show you the notion that a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. They keep telling you that. It doesn't matter whether you get it from wheat or whether you get it from... It's nuts. It's like,
The type of calorie determines its metabolic fate.
Yep.
carbohydrate calorie is going to be metabolized differently than a fat or a protein calorie.
Right.
And that's a fact.
And they can gum up the works metabolically. I mean, you really wouldn't think of putting kerosene in your car. You know, you have a high-performance car, and you think of putting kerosene in the gas tank. Well, yeah, it's fuel, but, you know, it's going to blow up your engine. And similarly, humans were not designed to consume vast amounts of refined carbohydrates. And for many, wheat is not an ideal fuel. End of story.
Even whole grain wheat, which is, by the way, high on the glycemic index.
Yeah, that's something.
Whole wheat.
Coming back to that, that's very interesting, is there are some surprises on glycemic index, because I think the index food, the 100, is table sugar, correct? Sucrose.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So they use 100 as the index. But I'm surprised that I think white bread clocks in at over 100. Is that correct?
It does. White bread is higher. Yes.
So it's actually a higher glycemic index than pure table sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And something like a baked potato is way high on that, right?
Right.
But, you know, but then again, there are limits to the concept.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, it depends on where you're at and what you do. And, you know, if you're really burning off the calories, you're very athletic and, you know, maybe you can tolerate a little more of those carbs.
Exactly.
As I do.
Anybody who's that athletic,
can't
tolerate the carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I hope that answers Marianne's question.
Right. All right. Right. So this is a logical point at which to pause, because we generally divide these podcasts into two parts. So if you'd be so kind as to load part two, listeners, we'll continue with our weekly Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back.